Good evening. Please rise and join in reciting our entrance antiphon, followed by our gathering hymn in your ritual song hymnals. Let my steps be guided by your promise. May evil never rule me.
Before we begin Mass this evening, I want to welcome our special visitor guest and guest preacher this evening, Father Philip Ogaki, who comes to us from Wauwatosa, pastor of Christ King Parish and St. Bernard's, and a longtime friend and someone who's much smarter and holier than I am. So you're blessed by his presence tonight. So welcome, Father. It's good to have you here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us acknowledge our sins and to prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to my brothers and sisters that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, what I have done, what I have failed to do, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that, schooled through Lenten observance and nourished by your word, through holy restraint, we may be devoted to you with all our heart and be ever united in prayer. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people and said, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Therefore, I teach you the statutes and decrees as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land you are entering to occupy. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what greater nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord, our God, is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as the whole law which I am setting before you today? However, take care and be earnestly on your guard not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live, but teach them to your children and to your children's children. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks so much for being here this evening for some time of prayer to celebrate the Eucharist together. This is happening all over the Archdiocese this evening, tonight, on the same night, and also at the same time at 7 p.m. intentionally, so that we're all united in prayer in a very special way. As Father Nathan mentioned at the beginning of Mass, I've got Father Philip Bogacki, and I've got the honor of also serving as pastor of two parishes in Wauwatosa, Christ King and St. Bernard. I've been there for about the last 8 or 9 years now. And this is the third and final opportunity for prayer and a little bit of a talk on this three-part mission that was occurring over 2021 and 2022 here in Milwaukee. A mission, by the way, as a reminder, is a practice in our tradition where as Christians, as Catholics in particular, we go to other places, be that other places in the world or other places than our home, really to remind each other that when we're separated by space, we really our true home is always in Jesus Christ. Or perhaps to introduce those who don't know Jesus Christ to an experience of him. So Archbishop Lestecki, to that end, has asked priests to travel to different parts of the archdiocese than they normally serve in a spirit of mission, to pray together with others, and importantly, to recall that we're all friends around the Eucharist. So I'm thankful that you let me be in here as a visitor. These missions on the gift of Sunday in Milwaukee, these three missions, really in the great providence of God now have in fact become an early start, a preparation to something that's going to be occurring nationally as the bishops of the United States are now undertaking what they're describing as a Eucharistic revival over the next 2 years. So as an entire nation now, to return to these fundamentals of a relationship with Jesus as he asked us to be part of in the Last Supper. So all over the country over the next 2 years, prayer and activities will occur, and that's all going to lead to a major gathering in the summer of 2024 in Indianapolis. And that event will be is the first National Eucharistic Congress in the United States in almost 50 years, actually. So these don't happen very often. So over 100,000 people are expected to conclude this time of revival with that Congress in July 2024 in Indianapolis. So we've started that in Milwaukee here early with our simple and important prayer in these missions and the Mass this evening. So we do so tonight in the gift of the Mass, the Eucharist. So I just want to offer perhaps just a simple thought on our readings this evening as we look to two individuals who are called by God, who we met in the scriptures today, Moses and the evangelist John. And what I appreciate about them is they're not unlike us in that they're mixed human beings in terms of people with strengths and weaknesses. But they're people who are called to focus on only what is most important while here on earth. They're focused on God, our Father, who has given us the gift of life, who loves us and supports us and feeds us while here, and who calls us forward to be with him forever in heaven. We should be encouraged by these two figures who are prominent in the first reading and then the gospel for Mass this evening. The first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, it's this very beautiful moment when Moses is speaking to the people of Israel. He's leading them in the desert toward the promised land, and it's a moment of remembering. It's a moment of recalling, remembering God. Recall what God has done for you, and remember what God has promised to you. This is a covenant he needs to remind them, that God has promised to you all that you could possibly imagine, and all he asks is that you honor him, that you worship him as God, that you love him, and that you obey him, that you follow his laws and his precepts and his decrees. And what happens in this journey here through the desert, as imperfect people, they're going to constantly fall away. So what's happening here is this is one of those many moments where Moses periodically is going to kind of stop them and to remind them of the why, and to say to them, you're a great people whom God has chosen. So follow his statutes and decrees, and then you're going to inherit this great land. Moses is charged with God with reminding the people of Israel about this, a great figure with a really important and a great mission. There's something, though, about Moses, who's the focus here, that I think heightens the importance of everything that Moses does, and it's his background. So Moses himself, who here is called to this mission, who is called to lead, he himself has a mixed personal background, like any human being. We don't often think about this part of him, though. In particular, Moses is responsible for taking someone's life. We don't know all the circumstances, but while in Egypt, he witnesses an Egyptian kill a fellow Jew, and Moses, out of defense or a sense of justice, is then going to take the life of the Egyptian. Also, during the time in the desert, Moses himself perhaps is going to fall into moments of doubt and of worry, and is going to be tempted himself to unfaithfulness to God during that journey in the desert. And then just on a very basic level, outside of his control, like human being, he has his things. We believe Moses might have had a speech impediment of some sort. What's so beautiful is you kind of know this about this man here, and to appreciate that God takes Moses seriously, including those choices that are a part of his life to sin, including the limitations that he shares with us all. So what God is going to do is to tell Moses, the promised land, where you're leading here the people of Israel, you yourself are not going to enter that. I'm calling you to lead these people there, but you're not going to enter it. And in fact, what happens is Moses is going to die on a hill, literally overlooking the promised land, looking out to that, but won't be allowed to enter himself. So what God says to Moses, this is part of your life, and there are consequences for things like sin. And here's one of those consequences. Here's what's amazing, though, and why this kind of this little bit of background to Moses is so fascinating. God says, I still call you, though. I still call you. It's to this very man that God says, I call you to this mission, to serve me, to lead these people to move forward. Moses, the messenger of God, has a very human past. That's a part of his life, yet he's still called to look forward. So you look at another figure then, John the Evangelist, from the Gospel this evening. The Gospel today is from John's Gospel and an excerpt from chapter 6, the Bread of Life Discourses. If you were at Mass last summer, we heard a big part of this during ordinary time, five or six week Sundays perhaps. And here we have a key selection of John chapter 6 for Mass this evening. You might remember the Bread of Life discourses because of the way that they're communicated, in that Jesus repeats himself over and over, repeats himself often. Over and over, in different ways, he speaks to the disciples of the truth that he really is the true bread that's come down from heaven. It's almost like he's trying to make sure that they really understand the importance of what's being communicated. But if you look at the Bread of Life discourses, all of chapter 6 in John's Gospel, but then even take a step back and you look at John's Gospel as a whole, you come to appreciate that there's something that has to be said about it. And it's something that I'd say with reverence and respect, but here's the thing. John is a really bad storyteller. He's not a good storyteller. You look at the other three Gospels, and they're compiled under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by the three evangelists, but they all have a sense of organization about them, a sense of narrative, a sense of wholeness. Mark's Gospel, we think, might be the first one compiled, but very concise and to the point. Matthew is writing to a particular audience, maybe a group of people a little bit more organized as a church, so his gospel has that sort of flavor and reason as to why it's structured in a certain way. And then Luke's gospel, Luke, even in the start, says, I'm trying to do this in an organized way, like the historian we think he might have been. Not John's gospel. This isn't like that. What you experience in John's gospel is this series of fragments, infinitely precious fragments, but they're fragments nevertheless, preserved what I can only say are really the hoarded memories of a very old man. We believe he's old as he's compiling this. It's an old man who is following his own train of thought, and as some people do, not really stopping to consider the details of what the hearers really want to know. John wouldn't be a very good journalist if you look at the way that he communicates the gospel. But John is so very close to Jesus, meaning at a certain point, he would have remembered all those little details, you know, all those little things that we remember about our friendships, perhaps, about the things in the rooms where Jesus was, what would have been furniture there, or things on the wall, what people look like or who are around Jesus, or all those many things that Jesus did in quiet moments that we don't quite have recorded in the Gospels. But as John gets older, this friendship is even more important in John's life. And here's what happens. This is kind of the key of what happens here. John is remembering only what is most important. Only what's most important, what is most key. And you think of that with long-term friends, perhaps. You remember small details about them, but as time goes on, it's those fundamental things about their character, or, you know, their sense of humor, or kind of who they are, that you would relate to someone else if they ask you to talk about your longtime friend. And you think about this with stories of old friends, kind of those details from years long ago. Over time, they're wrong or exaggerated, but kind of that larger point is not forgotten, that you had fun together, perhaps. So what I find so beautiful about John's gospel here, and the way that he relays what Jesus says about the bread of life, about the great gift, with such detail, is that John is here focusing on what is most important about Jesus. That really, just the way that he speaks is such a gift to us and so important and something to notice. What's most important is that John, this old man, now knows that other people need to know about Jesus, that he's the bread of life. John here isn't real big on the details, but here he is, and he captures what is most important about our Lord. And that's what he does here in chapter 6. Knowing what Jesus is saying here is so very important, so precious, and the bread of life that comes down from heaven, that we must eat his body and drink his blood if we desire eternal life. This is the gift of John's gospel. It's an old man who captures the heart of what his friend Jesus most needs to say. So I think about that dynamic in both of our readings here this evening. It really is kind of incredible. In different ways, giving us a lesson as weak and distracted human beings to focus on what is most important about life. Moses, with all his sins and failings, he shares with us, but still called to move forward, still called to mission, to lead God's people. And John, who ensures that we know exactly how important Jesus' own words are, as he calls himself the bread of life. As important as that is, that also then kind of hits us against a wall of a challenge as people living today. How often do we neglect what is most important about God's relationship with us? We become distracted by the world and by many other things. And how do we all struggle then to live in a world that suffers from a lack of appreciation, from a depth of reality? We live in a world that in so many ways remains on the superficial level, responding to only what's in front of our eyes, what our senses detect, missing the redemptive value of suffering, missing a sense of mystery about life and that there's something bigger out there. I read a book last year. It's become a little popular. Maybe you've read it. It's called Hollowed Out, and the subtitle is A Warning About America's Next Generation. It's a provocative book. I'm not suggesting all may agree with everything the author puts forward, but he's a teacher. He's an award-winning, kind of well-regarded high school and college educator from California, Bakersfield, I think. But the kind of the book is just him observing is that he says, you know, for some time, we've been avoiding exposing our young people to things that are deep. you know, to the great classics of literature from all points in history, to a lack of appreciation for the gift of great art and fine music, a lack of exposure to history, and that the questions that we run into today, they're not new, but they've been dealt with and in many cases solved in the past with insights that are then helpful to us today. And then he says what comes from this is very connected to this is a lack of appreciation for any kind of religion or any kind of sense of God or anything beyond this world. And he's, as a high school and a college teacher, he really expresses concern about that as it relates then to resiliency in the face of struggle or appreciation for the deeper realities of life. And he says kids then are really susceptible to exploitation by marketing, for instance. He says when important matters come up, he's looking out more and more so when he sees kind of bland and blank and afraid faces. And then that title, Hollowed Out. It's an interesting book. And I think whether you agree or disagree with what he says here, we can observe this to some degree. I think we'd see not only in kids, but really just in the world today, spiritual tourists. Sometimes we're like that as well. People who skim the surface of reality but don't commit to religion or to anything that involves a commitment. And we ourselves are imperfect as well. How often, when it comes to our faith, to religion, do we feel intimidated? Do we feel ill-equipped? I know I do sometimes. It's a challenge, and that challenge then is why people like Moses and John really are quite powerful examples for us as we consider what's most important. What's most important? The real gift of Jesus in the Eucharist. We look at the most important things we are as the weak human beings we are, and Moses and John are wonderful examples to focus on the most important things in life. Moses like us in our weakness, and John with that focus on those most important aspects of his friend Jesus here on the bread of life. So here are where these two men, Moses and John, really confront us and can teach us something. This is what we see in both readings today. We see people who have been given the life, the gift of life by God, Moses and John, who have their own human weaknesses and insecurities, but are still nevertheless called and able to focus on what is most important. For Moses, that means acknowledging his sinfulness so as to respond to what God wants him to do. And for John, that means his ability to pierce through the details of Jesus' life to tell us what is most important about him here in the gift of the Eucharist. Here's what this means for us. Be confident. You know, be confident. Right where we are, we've been given the gift of life by God. He feeds us regularly, above all in the Eucharist, and he's going to call us home to heaven, to himself. These are the most important things in life. And to help us, we're given the gift of Jesus, the gift of Sunday, and the gift of the resurrection. So as we renew our appreciation, our desire for Jesus' food in the Eucharist, as we pray for those many who are away, it does leave us with that question, I think, what's important? What's most important? And I'm just going to conclude with the words of St. John Henry Newman, 19th century in England, as he concluded one of his works, an essay on the development of Christian doctrine. And as he wrote the last words to that book, he put it down and he decided he needed to convert to Catholicism from Anglicanism. But as he's looking at really important questions and deep questions, these are the last words of that book from John Henry Newman, as he now considered his life and the road ahead. And it's very simple. He wrote, "Time is short, eternity is long. Time is short, eternity is long." Thank goodness for the gift of Jesus who gives us his bread for the life of the world. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. There are many things in this life to be afraid of, to worry about, but we ought not to fear. We ought not to become distracted. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And in those words of Newman, time is short, eternity is long.
We bring to God our prayers and our needs this evening. The intention for this Mass is for an increase of Mass attendance across the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and all of our parishes, and for a deepening love of Christ and the Holy Eucharist. So for this, we pray to the Lord. In thanksgiving for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and all the sacraments, and for those who have left the church and wandered away from communion, for the reconciliation and for the return, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
The leaders of our church, our Holy Father, our bishops, and our clergy, that our shepherds will be models of deep love and reverence for the Blessed Sacrament, for these things we pray to the Lord. For those who lead us in the world, our civil leaders, especially those who work for peace and for an end to violence in the world and all of its places and forms, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the Christian faithful in the Ukraine who face persecution and threats and dangers, for their safety, for their security, for a swift end to the violence there, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Pray for the sick and for the suffering, for those asking us to pray for them, for those who have no one to pray for them. For these we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for mercy and rest for all those who have died, for them we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We do make these and all of our prayers through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and good of all of his holy church.
Accept, O Lord, we pray, the prayers of your people, along with these sacrificial offerings, and defend those who celebrate your mysteries from every kind of danger, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, almighty and eternal God. You've given your children a sacred time for the renewing and purifying of their hearts, that, freed from disordered affections, they may so deal with the things of this passing world as to hold rather the things they eternally endure. And so with all the angels and saints, we praise you as without end we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, the fount of all holiness, make holy for these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which should be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. Mystery of faith. Therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you've held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly we pray that, partaking of the body and blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by the Holy Spirit.
Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, and with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son.
Through him and with him and in him, O God Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command and from our divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we wait the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. look not on our sins but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let's offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord,
I am not worthy to enter
under my roof,
but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Raise you up.
Let us pray. May the heavenly banquet at which we have been fed sanctify us, O Lord, and cleansing us of all errors, make us worthy of your promises from on high, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I want to thank Father Bogacki for his message and time tonight about Moses and John the Evangelist and how we are like them and fed by the Lord. So thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Thank you to our musical crew, which we also appreciate very much, and to Brenda from the diocese who came up here to make sure that I didn't make any mistakes. So thank you, Brenda. And thank you for coming. I believe that the Archbishop wanted all of these tonight recorded. So the homily tonight is recorded here on podcast, and all the other mission sites around the diocese have some sort of video or audio file of this. So please go on to the diocesan website to listen to all of the reflections for this Lenten season. You're welcome to share them and enjoy them and pray with them later on. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bow down for the blessing. Give to your people, our God, a resolve that is pleasing to you, for by conforming them to your teachings, you bestow on them every favor through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go forth, the Mass is ended.
Thanks be to God.
Fixed my eyes.